Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you today. Please take out your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, that's where our study is going to take place this morning for the most part. Acts chapter 2. And while you're turning there, just let me simply say that I am glad to be here, and it is a great morning, but it's marked with a tinge of sadness, isn't it, knowing that our brother Jerry Finley has passed away. We're so sorry for his family and so sorry for the shocking loss. But at the same time, we're not as those who sorrow without hope. We're glad for the life that he lived, and we're going to miss our brother dearly. But we're grateful. We're grateful that we got to know him, and he was such a fine Christian man. I could see that just in the little time that I've been here. I'm sure you saw that more than I did. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, start reading with me in verse 42. The Bible says this: "They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them all with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved." I love that passage. I love that passage because that is a passage that describes for us the very first church, the very first group of believers that gathered together to worship together and serve God together. That is the very first church. There's something pure about that, something special about that. I love that passage. And when I read that passage and then I look at the world that we live in today, I'm struck by the contrast there. Because the churches that we have today, not all of them look like that very first church. Not all of them operate the same way. Not all of them teach the same things. Not all of them worship the same way or work the same way. We have a lot of churches today that don't look like that very first church in Acts chapter 2. And when I think about that contrast, a simple question comes to mind, that is this: does Jesus care? Does Jesus care which church I join? You know, a church is not simply a building. A church is a group of people, a group of believers in Jesus Christ who have banded together and have agreed to serve him together. Does Jesus care what kind of church I worship at? Does he care what it does, what it teaches, how it works, how it worships? Does he care which church you join? And I think a great deal of people in our world would say, absolutely not. I think a great deal of churches in our world and even in our community would say, no, it does not matter. It doesn't matter what kind of church you worship at. You need to find a church that's got some good people. You need to find a church that believes in Jesus. You need to find a church where you can worship enthusiastically. You need to find a church that's going to help you grow spiritually. But what you need to do is you need to go out into the world and you need to delve into all the options that are out there, and you need to find the church that seems to suit you best. Just go and find the church of your choice. Jesus doesn't really care which church you join, as long as you pick the church that seems to spiritually fit you best. You know, a little while ago, the debate raged about which church was the right church. But today it seems like that debate is over, and the conclusion of the debate is, they're all pretty good, just pick whichever one suits you best. Is that how Jesus feels? Does Jesus care which church I join? And with your permission, I'd like to take a few moments of your time this morning and discuss that question with you. Does Jesus care which church I join? And before I do that, let me simply say this. I would ask you very much this morning, please do not turn off your ears. Because I know sometimes for people who've been in a church for a long time and they're ingrained in here and they're solid in here, when they see a title like that and when they hear a lesson is coming like this, they kind of start to turn down the volume on their ears because they've heard all this before. And I encourage you, please don't turn off your ears. Because I think this is an important lesson for every single one of us. It's foundational. It's fundamental. It is so important for us to know the answer to this question. I think this sermon is important because it helps us with evangelism. That when I go to work and I come into contact with somebody who worships at a different church, I can answer this question. Why should I worship at your church and not mine? I think it's so important for young people because more and more people who are my age and a little bit younger are being drawn away. And they've started worshiping at places, people I know very well, people that I love very deeply, have started worshiping at other churches who do things much differently than this church and much differently than that church that we read about. That was the first church in Acts chapter 2. And it's important for you young people, you high schoolers, you college kids to know, does it really matter where I worship? You have answers for that. And I think this sermon is important for those of you who are visiting with us today. Whether you have a church home or not. And I'll tell you right now, I'm not preaching this church so that I can rip you away from your church home and you'll come here so we can pad our numbers. By no means. By no means. I think this sermon is important though, so that you can go back to your home church, if you have a home church, and you can ask yourself this simple question. Does this church line up with what Jesus wants? Does Jesus care? Does Jesus care where I go to church? I think if we're going to answer that question, we have to start the discussion by nailing down this truth. We need to know this morning, that Jesus wants you to join a local church. Jesus wants you to join a local church. You need to know that. You need to be rock solid on that. Now I understand that when it comes to the number of the saved that are enrolled in heaven, that is a church that we're added to, right? We are added to the Lamb's Book of Life when we've been washed in the waters of salvation. But in another sense, Jesus does want me to go out. He does want me to go out and join a church. He wants me to go out and join a local body of believers like this one. Jesus wants me to join a local church. Now, a lot of people in our country don't believe that that's true anymore. If you look at the numbers, depending on what you read, attendance numbers are dipping in churches across the country and all across the spectrum. If you read the statistics, it says about 40% of people say they go to worship, and about 20% actually do. That's some bitter irony right there. People aren't going to church anymore. And you could attribute that attendance dip to the moral decline of our culture. You could attribute that attendance dip to bad experiences. You could attribute part of that attendance dip to church online. You know, people pipe in preachers into their homes through the internet, and then they say, I think that's plenty. I'm done for the day. But I don't think it'd be unfair to attribute some of that drop-off in church attendance to this church of your choice mentality that dominates the religious landscape in this country. Doesn't it follow, brothers and sisters, doesn't it follow that if it doesn't really matter where I go to church, it probably doesn't matter if I go to church? But I want you to know, despite what a lot of people in this world are starting to believe about church, about gathering together with saints, I want you to know without question and without qualification that Jesus wants you to join a local church. I want you to have no doubt about that. I want you to be convinced of that. I want you to be sure of that. He wants you to join a local church. He wants to be part of a local body of believers. Look at what the Bible says in Acts 2. In Acts 2 and verse 44, look at what it says about that first church. It says, and all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. All those people who were baptized, all 3,000 of those people who were baptized on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says they were what? They were together. They bonded together. They became a church family. They spent time with one another. Day by day, they were in each other's houses. They were in the temple together. They were doing things together. They were a church family. They were together. we look in Acts chapter 9, in Acts chapter 9, we see another example of that. After Saul is converted, he becomes a child of God. He goes to the church in Jerusalem. He goes to the church in Jerusalem, and notice what that verse says he does. It says, when he came to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. The Bible says that when Saul became a Christian, he went to Jerusalem and he tried to associate with the disciples, which is actually a really weak translation of that word. You see that word trying to associate? That's a really weak translation. You know what that word actually means? You know what that word actually means? It means to glue yourself to something. So that text is not saying that Paul kind of wanted to have kind of sort of a nice relationship with the people there, to be an acquaintance with him. That text is saying that when Paul went to that church in Jerusalem, he tried with all of his might to glue himself to the brethren who were there, to cement himself as part of that body. He wanted to be a part of that local church. And he kept trying, and he kept trying, even when at first they refused to have anything to do with him. He wanted to be glued to them. And that's our example. Jesus wants you to find a group of believers in this world, and he wants you to glue yourself to them. Church at home by yourself isn't good enough. Jumping around from church to church to church to church on a whim isn't good enough. You need a church home. You need to be glued to a body of believers. Jesus wants you to join a local church. But the truth about that is, you can do that with pretty much any church within an hour drive of your home. You can do that with pretty much any church. So the question remains, does Jesus care which church I glue myself to? Does he care which church that I join? And here's the answer to that question. Jesus wants you to join a church that looks like that very first church we read about. He wants you to be a part of a church that does things exactly like that church in Acts 2, exactly like that church that we read about in the New Testament. If you want to know if Jesus is happy with your church choice, all you have to do is ask yourself this simple question: does my church do things the way that first church did things? And you'll have your answer. Does your church worship the way that they worshiped? We can read about their worship in here. We know how they worshiped. We know the way they conducted those worship services. We know what they did to give glory to God. Does your church worship the way they worshiped? Does your church teach what they taught? We know what they taught. The pages of this book are filled with their instruction about how men ought to behave, and what they ought to do, how they ought to live their life, what they ought to believe about Jesus. Does your church teach what they taught about Jesus? Does your church work the way that that church worked? Is it involved in the same kind of activities? Is it striving for the same mission that they strove for? Does your church look like that very first church? Because I'll tell you this right now, Jesus wants you to worship at a church that looks like this church. Now, how do we know that? That's the question, isn't it? How do we know that? How do we know that Jesus wants me to worship at a church that looks like that first church? Because I can't just stand up here and say that. I can't just say that. We have to have some kind of evidence. We have to have some kind of rationale for why I can stand up here and say that 2,000 years later, we ought to be doing things exactly the same way that they were doing things back then. How do we know? How do we know that Jesus wants my church to look like that church? And the answer to that question begins in the passage we started with. It begins in Acts chapter 2 in verse 42, where the Bible says this: they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread into prayer. What that verse tells us is that that very first church was devoted to the apostles' teaching. That in their assembly, in their group, the apostles were the ones who made the rules. They made the rules. They told everyone how they were supposed to behave. They told them what was wrong. They told them what was right. They told them what the church ought to do, how it ought to worship, what it ought to teach, how it ought to work. The apostles were in charge in that first church. They made the rules. And they made the rules because they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Jesus told them that they would be the night that he was betrayed. So in that first church, they were devoted to the apostles' teaching because they spoke the words and the rules that came from God. And you may say, well, that's well and good. I'm glad that the apostles' teaching worked for them. I'm glad that was a good way for the church in Jerusalem to do it that day, in those times. But it's 2,000 years later, and just because they did it that way, just because they were devoted to the apostles' teaching, doesn't mean that we have to be devoted to it as well today. And if that's what you're thinking, I understand that. I understand you thinking that. I understand wanting an answer for that. And if that's what you're thinking, let me show you another verse. Let me show you another verse. And this verse is in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. The book of Philippians was written from an apostle to a church that wasn't in Jerusalem. It was in a city called Philippi. And this is what the apostle said to that church in Philippi. He said, "Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us." Paul said to that little church in Philippi that consisted of Lydia and her household, the jailer in his household, and probably a bunch of others. He said, "Look, you're a local church. If you want to know what God wants from you, this is what you need to do. You need to look at what the apostles have taught you. And you need to look at all the other churches that are around you. And you need to do exactly what they're doing. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us." He wanted Philippi to do things exactly the same way Jerusalem did things. You see, what you find, brothers and sisters, what you find when you open up the New Testament is you don't find that it just talks about one local church in Jerusalem and how they did things. What you find when you open up the New Testament is that it talks about a bunch of different churches that all were the same kind of church. There was a local church in Corinth, and a local church in Ephesus, and a local church in Antioch, and a local church in Jerusalem, and several local churches in Galatia, and there was a local church in Rome, and there's a local church in Derby, and a local church in Crete. And every single one of those local churches, they all did things the same way. They were all devoted to what the apostles taught them. And so Paul would write to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians, that local church in Corinth, in chapter 11, he'd tell them, "I want you to take the Lord's Supper. I want you to have a memorial feast to remember the Lord's death." And he would tell them in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, he would give them an entire chapter of instructions of how they were supposed to worship. And Paul would write to a preacher named Titus, who was preaching in a local church on the island of Crete. And he would tell them, he would give them instructions about how they were supposed to appoint church leadership and who was supposed to be an elder in the church there. And he would write this to a young preacher named Timothy, who was preaching at a different local church, in 1 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 15. He would write this to a different local church, "But in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth." That verse is so important, I'm going to read it again. "But in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar in support of the truth. That passage tells us that there is a way a church ought to act. There is a way a church ought to operate. And we learn that by following exactly what the apostles taught us, by worshiping the way they told us to worship, by teaching what they told us to teach, by working the way they told us to work. You see, when the church was instituted, when Jesus bought the church with his blood, he had a design in mind for how these little local bodies of believers would operate, for what these churches would do and what they would look like. And Jesus cares. Jesus cares. He wants me to worship at a church that follows that design that he gave to the apostles and that they wrote to all those other little local churches in the first century. And when a church, when a local group of believers does that, the Bible calls them a church of Christ or a church of God in Christ. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 16, speaking to the Romans from a bunch of different local churches, Paul says, the churches of Christ salute you. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 in verse 16, in verse 14, Paul would say this, for you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ that are in Judea, for you also endured the same sufferings at the hands of your own countrymen, even as they did from the Jews. When a church follows that pattern, they are a church of Christ, a church of God in Christ. And I want you to understand that that's not a title. It's not just a neat name to put out on the front of the sign. It is a statement. When a church says we are a church of Christ, it is a statement that this church belongs to Jesus, that this church is his, that this local body of believers is submitted to his authority, and we're going to do things the way he wants us to do them. That this church is going to do things the way that first church did. Because that's his design, that's his plan, that's what he wants. Jesus cares. Jesus cares where you go to church. You need to be a part, a member. You need to be glued together with a church of Christ. And when I say that, I do not mean that you need to make sure you're in the directory of a place that has those words on the sign out front. When I say that, I mean you need to be a part of a church that is truly submitted to his authority. A church that truly does things the way that first church did things. You need to be a part of a church that looks like that first church in Acts 2. Brothers and sisters, we can't fall prey to that church of your choice mentality. We can't believe that it doesn't really matter where I go to church. Jesus cares. Jesus cares which church I join. And I need to make sure that I don't just choose a church of my choice. I need to be very careful that I choose a church that has chosen Jesus. I need to make sure I choose a church that has chosen Jesus. And I thought I should let you know this morning as well that the church that you join, the local church that you join, is really, it's a secondary decision. It's a decision that you make after you make the most important decision of your life. The Bible teaches me that when I am lost in sin, if I believe in Jesus, if I confess my belief in Jesus before men and repent of the sins that caused him to go to the cross, I can be baptized and have those sins washed away. And the Bible tells me that when I do that, I will be added to that church that are enrolled in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. And if you have not done that this morning, I encourage you to do what's necessary to be added to that church right now. Do it right now while we sing.